This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Dabo Mafori. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. You know that whenever you hear us on radio, this is a show that brings you all things business. We bring in subject matter experts, we bring in regulators, game changers, industry champs, and a whole lot of a variety of people that bring in a different contribution onto the show. You know that every Wednesday, without a shadow of a doubt, this is a place that you need to be for you to get a dose of Entrepreneurial Week inspiration and motivation. More than anything, I'm not alone in studio. You know that every week I go with my boy, Bulelani. But how are you, Fana?
Nah, man, I'm good, man. I'm happy to be in studio today.
Is it?
Yeah. It was interesting getting here.
Why?
It was interesting and great at the same time. So, I don't have a car this week, right?
Okay.
Because my car went in for repairs. I got a Critica car, but it drives badly. So, I used the Taxify coming here. It was a great pleasure.
Actually. So, you'd rather use Taxify than use the Critica?
Yeah, no. You see how big I am? That thing is a 0.5 liter something. It takes 3 hours to get to my weight as a contributor. So I'd rather opt for something else, but I'm very happy to be in studio and I'm excited about today's topic. And yeah, man, how are you doing? I mean, I think it's what, this is the second show in spring. How are you doing?
No, man, I'm good. It's spring. Obviously, I'm very excited about, you know, they say kisamabos, so it means obviously there's a lot of things that we're definitely looking forward to it. I think more than anything, I'm looking forward to, I think, the freedom that comes with the year going to an end.
Yes.
I mean, you spoke about you, obviously, in this car that was cramping your style. So when I heard you, just want to be free. And I'm looking at your dress code that you almost dress like me these days, eh?
No.
So I'm looking at your color pants. I'm looking at my color pants. And I'm thinking,
so. No, man. It seems like it's the same thing, but these are Egyptian cotton. I'm kidding.
Oh, excuse me.
We'll use cotton.
No, definitely. No, it's actually exciting today that we're talking about being free, free versus freedom. Because sometimes we tend to mistake the two. That's why in studio today, I've brought in leaders that are in the development space. And more than anything, I've got a rather very interesting guest that I'm looking at having. He's from, you know, a free market foundation. We know that a free market is defined as an economic system based on supply and demand, with little or no government control. Free markets are characterized by a spontaneous and decentralized order of arrangement through which individuals make economic decisions. Are we free, though, as business people? It's some question that I ask here. Are we free as citizens or of the country, or are we captured by capitalism? I know it's some of the discussion that definitely, Blenani, you know, we've been having with the Guptas and everything else, capturing. I mean, I was having a discussion with someone, you know, Dr. Harry, that in Africa we're supposed to be free, but we're not free as well. That's why, I mean, I'm excited that these, I mean, are the conversations that we're going to have, because we know that most African countries were colonized by pushing business interests, thus they are still captured. I mean, to date, we are now officially in recession as a country. I was hoping to actually have the status in general to actually open up a discussion, but unfortunately on Wednesday they have their escorts. So she's going to be joining us next week. But is that not part of the capture that we're borrowing monies to free the economy and etc.? Hence, you see our parastatals taking loans and doing whatever. Would we ever be free? It's a question that I ask today as the market. Today, I'm talking about the current state of SA economy and the freedom thereof. So more than anything, I'm excited in studio to be having Chris Hutton, who's a researcher at the Free Market Foundation. I've got Dr. Harry Akunola, who's the Global Learning and Development Head at Puma Energy, and he's a shift convener. I've got Lisa Elinoth, who's the author, entrepreneur, and founder of Future Proof. Without wasting any time, I don't know, are we going ladies first? Lisa, or we're taking it with the gents. What are we doing? I'm giving you power to
You're
decide.
You're gonna have to give me a mic first before you do anything else.
I like that.
No one's getting any power here until one of us gets a voice.
No. You've got the voice. So do you wanna make a decision first? You wanna lead us?
Totally. Let's kick off this discussion.
Okay. Do you wanna say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are. What is it that you do?
Okay. So I am a co-founder and CEO of a business called Futureproof. Futureproof was started in its conceptual phase about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, as an educator with a postgraduate in curriculum design, left teaching and then headed into the world of entrepreneurship. And there was a massive gap there of actual entrepreneurial education. And I started my first business at 31 with two children exiting a marriage and thought, you know what, hang on a second, 31 is way too late to start learning entrepreneurial lessons. We should not be learning about this stuff at that age. And so I founded Futureproof to teach kids how to think like entrepreneurs and then how to catalyze entrepreneurial action right from the age of 9 years old, so 9 to 17.
But Lisa, how old are you? You look 26, man.
Yeah, you
got good genes.
Listen, these are my guests. Jeans, they're really good.
Okay. Let me move over to Dr. Harry. Dr. Harry, take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is that you do.
Hi, everyone. I'm Harry Akinola. All right, so I'm actually the head of learning at Puma Energy. But also, my life passion is helping people live excellent lives by recognizing, maximizing, and capitalizing their best strengths.
Mm.
And what that does to me is it forces me to go into Africa and develop the youth in Africa.
Okay.
So, I mean, going around Lagos, Johannesburg, Nairobi, Kigali, Kampala, and just helping young people find themselves and be the best they can be.
Hmm. Oh, nice. No, I like that.
Isn't that a sexy accent? Yeah. What is that? Dude.
Be careful, Lisa. You're still a guest, you know.
Oh. I had like a little eargasm right there. I forgot to listen to what you were saying. I was like, oh,
this is
going to
be a great show.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I've got a rather interesting guest now to say hi to our listeners. So that is Chris. I actually got to have a discussion with Chris yesterday. I must say, Chris, you're good peeps, man. Take this opportunity to say hi to our people. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me on. Hello to the listeners. I'm a researcher at the Free Market Foundation. My background is I studied philosophy at university. So quite esoteric and abstract, that sort of stuff. At the Free Market Foundation, we analyze policies. We're a think tank, so we do commentary on policies coming up, introduced in Parliament, and new laws and how they're going to affect people. We see individuals as their natural state should be maximal freedom. If the government wants in any way at all to impose on someone's freedom through laws, through taxation, through any controls, the burden of proof needs to rest on the government and the restrictions on freedom that they want to impose. So that's from the perspective that we write and talk about.
So now tell me, I mean, the role of the Free Market Foundation. I mean, before I got here, I had lunch with Dr. Harry. So, and when I said I've got the Free Market Foundation, in fact, with a couple of people that have been saying that, they ask, who is the Free Market Foundation? People don't know that you exist. So maybe before, in answering that, can you tell us what role are you playing in terms of improving our country or contributing to our country? I mean, you've said in terms of the policies and whatsoever that you guys are involved in, but simplify it for the layman on the street.
So as a starting point, we look at one resource you could use, the Economic Freedom of the World Report. That's produced by a Canadian think tank, the Fraser Institute. And they provide a lot of breakdowns in data of what policies, the impact of policies on people's lives. And there's a strong correlation between individual and political freedom and the amount of wealth in a society. The more state control, the more the state takes of the economy, the more GDP for their, for social welfare spending, that sort of thing. The freer, the more money people have to build businesses, to grow their own lives, et cetera, et cetera. So we look at those two avenues. So, for example, there was an economist, Hernan de Soto. He has a theory of debt capital. So when we talk about expropriation now and title deeds and that sort of thing, we have a program called Kailam, the My Home Title Deed Reform Project. Mm-hmm. So we look at making it easier for people to have title deeds to their own homes, because if they have a house but no title deed, they can't use that capital. True. They can't launch a business from their home. Mm. So one of the things we do in Ngwati, which is in Parys, mm-hmm. we've got a big program running there where we try and facilitate the process for people. So banks, businesses, they can sponsor title deeds for people in the township. Mm. They come to us. We work with the title deeds process, the title deed registry, and we make it easier for them to get the title deed. So that's, I think, our main project, our main focus is titling.
Okay. But now tell me, who are you advocating for? Is it for business? Is it for government? Is it for people?
For individuals, for individual freedom. Okay. We are definitely against any imposition of monopoly. If businesses appeal to government for bailouts, for, you know, if someone goes to the government and they say, my competition is doing this, please help me. We're totally against that. In the free market, you should stand on your own two feet and compete. If you're unable to do that, you shouldn't appeal to government to help you out. We think that the best judge of where your money should go for the individual is you yourself. You're mm-hmm. the customer. When you choose this business over that business, you're voting for that business, in effect.
Okay.
Just as we vote for politicians.
Okay. So then tell me, though. You spoke about something very interesting, monopolizing. Mm. Business has been monopolizing, throughout for years, mm-hmm. manipulizing countries, manipulizing government, mm-hmm. and everything else. I mean, right now, even government itself manipulizes people in order for them to push their own agenda.
Yeah.
So is there such a thing as a free market, though?
I think in most societies, including, you know, one that would be held up as an example of the free market, the U.S., most economies are mixed economies. We have freedom and we have state control. I think a monopoly, if it arises voluntarily, so if a business does really, really, really well, it provides the best services, the best products to the customers, and the customers choose that business, mm-hmm. it's not an immoral monopoly because it was not enforced through force. The okay. government... In everything that the government does, the government has force behind it. You know, taxation, you don't pay your taxes, something's going to happen to you. Mm. When you don't want to buy from a business, nothing's going to happen to you. I think it depends on how the monopoly arises. Like you said, we have examples of businesses growing big through the contacts and the contacts and the influence they have in government, which I think is an issue. And it shouldn't matter who is in charge of the government. We shouldn't always be talking about who the president is. The state shouldn't have that much control in the first place. Mm. Because then you find lobby groups, you find people going to government and appealing for funding, when that shouldn't be the case. They should be able to compete with each other. Otherwise, if it's a monopoly through force, it's immoral. If it comes about through the market, I think it's moral.
Okay. So let me come to Dr. Harry. Dr. Harry, you are the convener of SHIFT.
Yes.
And you're hosting SHIFT this year with a theme of being free.
Yes.
So, are we free? Are we ever going to be free?
Yes.
Really?
and I think every time...
Maybe let's start, why the theme free?
Absolutely. And if you look at the subtitle, you will see from enduring to enjoying.
Okay.
And... almost every country in Africa has got issues. I know South Africa.
Just in Africa? I mean, we're just in Africa, yeah?
Let's focus on Africa.
Okay, right,
exactly.
Right, right.
Let's focus on Africa, right? And you can complain about all the issues that we have, and people have been complaining for many years,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't gone away, really.
Hmm.
Now, whether or not we will be free will be a conversation of self first. Because... what is happening has been happening. It hasn't changed. And some of the people that clamored for freedom many years ago are holding people captive today. So I think the first journey to freedom starts with a person. And it starts from the mind. Now, that doesn't take away from the other things that need to be addressed in the economy, in the government.
Mm-hmm.
However, we need to, as individuals, have a free state of mind before we can collectively start enjoying some of the things we need to enjoy.
Hmm.
And that is the aspect the SHIFT conference is currently focusing on, knowing fully well that we cannot address all problems in one sitting.
Okay.
So can we start addressing the problem of the mind? Now, let me give you an instance.
Okay.
An instance will be many young entrepreneur you see today were born 30, 31, 35, 40 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. He says that and he looks at me. Right?
And honestly, if you look at, and you can read back, check on the internet and check materials that exist out there. Some of the issues we're talking about today, in some part of Africa, we started talking about them even since that time.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, will these things change overnight? They wouldn't.
Okay.
But while we are striving for a free society, as it were,
mm-hmm.
how can we begin to experience freedom as individuals first?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it starts from the mind. So we believe that while we're organizing Shift is, if we start speaking to the minds of young people, if I am free in my mind,
mm-hmm.
and I'm free to live my dream. Of course, not there will be issues around all the time, right? I'm
mm-hmm.
free to live my dream. I mean, with all the challenges that exist, people still start businesses. People still thrive in businesses. But if we all live in that kind of freedom, there's a sense of freedom we'll achieve, we'll enjoy, even though there are challenges all around us. And that is a perspective we're coming in with Shift Conference.
Can you give me a little bit of a direction around freedom that you how do you contextualize freedom? Because, you know what, it's a subjective matter.
It is.
Now, and I mean, this is the discussion I was having the other day with these educational institutions that are being burnt to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
In protest for, you know, fees must fall, and then there's another protest action, and someone, you know, takes fire to libraries. We want to decolonize education. We want to do all of these things, right? That is freedom.
That is a kind of freedom.
It is a kind of freedom. And so, can I ask you what kind of freedom when you talk about we're going to free the mind? Because that is a kind of freedom.
And I agree.
That is being extended to university students, but yet, you know, the whole with great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly.
You know, I am a big fan of Batman, so, you know, like a huge fan. Yeah. So what kind of freedom are you extending when you're talking about shifting into freedom?
Exactly. So,
Milelani, Lisa is taking over the show.
I'm sorry, guys.
Okay, answer that.
Sorry.
I love you, sir.
This is the learning people conversation. And that's very valid. So the freedom we're talking about here starts with you personally fulfilling your purpose, understanding what it is, finding it, and then fulfilling it. Honestly, I believe that people will have a reason to do whatever they want to do.
Mm.
And as much as I would love to change someone else, that is not possible. Everybody will have to take responsibility for their own change first. Now, how can I help people think differently about making the right level of impact they need to make, and without necessarily burning down a university to send a message?
Mm.
It will start from me showing them that you don't start being free when the shackles leave your hands.
True.
You start being free when you understand the reason you exist.
Hmm.
And that is a journey we need to take back before we move forward. And that is the purpose of Shift.
Okay.
So for me, it's Chris is addressing the issue of free trading. You're addressing the issue of the mind.
Exactly.
Lisa, what are you addressing as future proof?
Oh, everything in between. So we've got economic freedom over here.
Okay.
And we've got purpose-driven freedom over here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I am the driver from there to there.
Okay, simplify it for us.
Okay, so effectively, you need to find your purpose. You need to find out why do you exist? What is the thing that's hardwired into your DNA
exactly.
that you can then use as an economic driver to generate an income for yourself and your community and those around you?
Okay.
Okay, so that's where I exist. And that is taking the mantle on of, okay, you don't need to take the current opportunities as your only opportunities to become economically active.
Mm.
Because the current opportunities that exist for our youth out there are dwindling at an exponential rate that are going down. 10.3 million kids between the ages of 15 and 34 last quarter became unemployed.
Hmm.
Okay, think about that. Look at that and go, at the moment, currently, our youth unemployment rate sits at 71 million. Like, that's where we're at. Those are the current statistics, guys. Like, yes, you can love your purpose and you can do all your purpose and that's great, but you know what? Eskom doesn't take payment in purpose.
Exactly.
All right.
True.
So we're getting less and less opportunity for our youth to become economically active. There aren't enough jobs. You've got a whole world that is heading towards a technical revolution. AI is coming, baby, okay? And so we need to have kids that are going to enter the world that and able to add value to it without having to rely on somebody else to create an economic activation for them.
Okay. Yeah, artificial intelligence is coming. So now what are you doing as future proof?
What isn't to try and integrate AI?
Yeah, No. In terms of, I mean, right now you spoke of the interesting statistics.
Yeah.
That are affecting our youth. Yeah. In terms of unemployment.
Yes.
So now what I'm trying to establish is what is your purpose? What is your role?
Okay, absolutely.
Are you empowering young people? Are you saying young people wake up? Artificial intelligence is coming.
Okay.
What are you doing?
So what we're doing is we go into schools and we activate that little entrepreneurial muscle.
Okay.
Okay. In those kids that are genetically predispositioned to do that, and in those that are the 5% that are not predispositioned to do that, to awaken that and make them aware of what entrepreneurship is. Mm-hmm. And whether you, I mean, no one, not everyone's going to be an entrepreneur, right? We don't want everyone to be an entrepreneur. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be very weird. But we're trying to say to guys, listen, there is another future. You don't have to sit in an irrelevant education system, because let's be frank, it really is irrelevant to the world that they're entering into.
Mm-hmm.
Let's awaken those opportunities for you. Let's catalyze entrepreneurial thinking in those that have it. Let's catalyze entrepreneurial action in those that have it. So let's teach you how to do that. Let's teach you how to start a business. Let's teach you how to develop a network. Let's teach you how to be a good mentee and find a mentor. Let's teach you about cash flow. And if you can't start a business and run a business, well, you know what? You can actually be self-employed as well.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there is the spin-off of that. We're looking for the 5% of high-growth, high-impact entrepreneurs. The spin-off is those that can create employment for themselves. And the rest of them, well, you can come and work for us.
Okay. So you are in business?
I am.
How do you make money?
How do we make money?
Mm.
We charge people for our courses.
Okay.
Unapologetically.
Mm. So,
and this is to your point, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm taking over again. I'm sorry.
No. We're used to it by now, so it's all right.
This is to your point, because if you don't have something that you can sell, that a customer is willing to pay for, you don't have a business.
Yeah.
You cannot stand on your own two feet. That's mm-hmm. what you're talking about
right.
in terms of free market.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get it right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. I think we should keep in mind always that wealth isn't static. This isn't this big wealth pie in the world that's being divided up. Wealth is constantly growing. Yes, it's shrinking in some areas. It's growing in other areas. I think the more free people are, the more it'll grow for them if they can, you know, build that business and sell things. I'm slowly, you know, and we've only been here for a couple of minutes, but just listening to my two fellow guests and the work that they're doing. I mean, this is the real world implementation of man's mind at work, of mm-hmm. making value in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think making profit for oneself, I think, is a moral endeavor. But the way, you know, the more that you can provide a service for other people, the more you're going to make a profit. So you can make a profit in your isolation and stuff. That's still moral. I don't think it's a case of businesses have to think, we have to give back X amount.
No.
You're going to give back anyway
mm-hmm.
in your business.
So there's there's one thing that we unapologetically
I just want to say I love the energy in the room.
Unapologetically, like future proof, there's a mantra that we have. It's for purpose, for profit.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have either.
Yeah.
You can make a profit and you can have a purpose.
Yeah.
And those two things together make a beautiful business.
Yeah.
So unapologetically, we didn't set up an NPC. We didn't set up an NGO. This is something that will make profit. I have to stand there in front of a classroom of kids and tell them how to create sustainable businesses. I have to walk the talk.
Absolutely.
I have to have a sustainable business.
Mm.
I have to have a product that people will pay
Doctor,
for.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to talk. I like the idea of profitable purpose, profitable passion.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. But as well, I mean, there will be people who probably don't have the resources
mm-hmm.
to get on some of those programs.
Yeah.
Who have the passion, the energy to learn and become entrepreneurs or intrapreneurs that can work in other organizations. Mm-hmm. Now, you said something about the current education system that we have. That is, in a lot of sense, don't make sense anymore because there's that huge gap between what you learn in the university and being employable.
Right.
True.
Now, what shifts and other shift programs like Be the Best that we have is targeted at doing is bridging that employability gap.
Yeah.
Because while I know a lot of people want to attend such a program, whether they have the money to attend or not, what about the people who don't have the resources to attend? So what we do is to get people that have the resources, sponsor people that can attend, and then provide that mentorship for them to continue to learn and continue to grow and continue to impact their own world in their own way. So I think that what I see is a continuum, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the younger age to the, you know, to the bigger kids, to the people that can actually start a business and all that. And
hang on a second.
Yeah.
Because kids can't start businesses?
Yeah, I said that before I knew I was sitting next
to you. Right. You have to be so careful, yeah. And I have a good reach.
Okay. All right, let's draw a line across everyone. Everyone can start a business.
Thank you.
But the reality we are faced with is, even though we've got kids, but there are realities, right? There are kids who are people to support them through that process, like you.
Yeah.
There are kids who do not have those people. Mm-hmm. Now, where shift comes in is, can we answer the question for those kids? Can we put them into the room and show them the same principles, the same tools that we help them become free in the economy sense of it?
Let me take a different spin. Let me bring in my co-host, Bulelani. Bulelani, you host TEA, Township Entrepreneurship Alliance.
Yeah.
With the purpose of giving township entrepreneurs the freedom to trade. Or for the freedom to discover their potential.
Yeah.
Would you say, sit here and confidently say, township entrepreneurs are free?
not at all. I mean, there's still a lot that needs to happen. I think apart from the actual individual themselves, breaking out and having a mindset that says, you know, I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
There's still an issue of infrastructure that won't support entrepreneurship.
Mm.
So, which is why, you know, for me, it always goes back to the conversation around when someone says, but why township entrepreneurs? Isn't an entrepreneur an entrepreneur? And I say, you have to segment it. There's a difference because I also then feed back to my entrepreneurial journey and how there would obviously we're definitely going to experience different challenges as entrepreneurs. You being one who's situated in a Rose Bank and me being one who's in a Sibukeng or a Tladi or whatever. So, which is why then we need to then shine the light to township entrepreneurship so that we can also then, as a government, I think as a country, as corporate, understand what are some of the challenges that keep one from getting to where they need to go. Something, I don't know. Yeah.
I think Lisa wants to add something.
I'm just putting up my hand so that I don't take over again because
I didn't see her.
I agree with you completely, and I'll tell you why. It's a thing called institutional voids. Structural voids that township entrepreneurs have. They don't have the structures and the institutions to be able to support them. If you're in urban areas, you know, where you've come from, an upper LSM, you have those structures that support you. Township entrepreneurs don't have that. And so they have to navigate a whole bunch more challenges than what you do. And can I tell a little story quick?
Mm-hmm.
There's a little girl that we taught in grade 7 in one of the schools in Dipsford. And it's that mindset that you have to shift. I think that is the hardest thing that you have to do.
Absolutely.
Is to change their, reframe their problems to opportunities. Mm. To be able to say to them, guys, identify all the problems around you. Now, how do you solve them and then create an opportunity to make money? Mm-hmm. And this little girl, they couldn't get to school on time because the taxis, you know that road in Dupslert that goes in and out, it's one road, and they were doing the renovations and all the taxis were going down the side of the roads and getting the kids to school on time. But the cops came along and they sat on the side then, so all the taxis had to then sit in the one road. So all the kids got to school late. She said to me, Lisa, I get to school late every single day because the taxis have to sit there. So I said, it's a problem. Let's reframe that to an opportunity. How are you going to solve this? Now my brother has a bike and I'll get to school on time because I can ride on the side now because it's safe because the cops are there. Great. I said, but that's not a business. Okay, I'll get my friend and my friend can ride on the back. And I said, okay, that's still not a business, that's a charity. You're still taking your friend to school for free. How much does the taxi charge? Taxi charges $5. Awesome. Put your friend on the back. It's safe. You can ride on the side, charge her R5, and you still get her to school on time. This little girl started her business like that. We came back the couple of months later. She'd earned enough money to buy another bike. Her friend was then riding the bike, and they were both transporting kids to school. So she created a franchise model, yeah, just like that. All you have to do is shift the thinking from problem to opportunity.
Okay, Chris, we're talking shifting the mindset from problem to opportunity. Mm-hmm. Right now, township entrepreneurs have got problems. Yeah. I mean, Lisa has confirmed it in terms of some of the challenges that are actually happening. So for me, it starts coming back to say, are we really going to be free? Because right now, do you understand that there's problems with the mindset, there's problem of cultural problems, there's a whole lot of other things before we even start to trade. Mm-hmm. Do you understand?
Yeah. So I think you look at the social legacy of apartheid. You look at these areas of just Johannesburg as an example, in the townships, mm-hmm. Bryanston, where we are, that sort of thing. Just in half an hour of driving through Johannesburg, you can see the legacy of what central government planning has done to the people of this country. So addressing the challenges, I think people on the ground best know their own lives. They best know what they face. I think if we can make it a case of solving problems bottom up and not top down, so it's not government edicts or politicians telling us you must do X, Y, Z, you must live your life this way, I think we will reach, you know, what we could maybe, and I don't think all of us will ever agree on freedom as such, as this, you know, abstract concept. There's political freedom, economic freedom, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we can rejig things philosophically to where it's bottom up, I think we're already along the right lines. We should not, it shouldn't be the premise that the government, regardless of which party is in power, is going to solve, you know, our problems for us. I think the South Africans, you know, the way that they've throughout, I mean, black South Africans, the way that they've had to work through colonialism, apartheid, and now, and they're still able to be successful. Mm. I mean, that says so much about the character of the people of this country, and there's just regulations and things in the way of them. I think if we free people up, you know, through lesser laws, more freedom, I think we'll already be on the right path.
Okay. So Dr. Harry, you, from a continental point of view, I think we're not free as a country, we're not free as a continent. And I understand that you play your own part in your own little corner of trying to free people's mindset so that they eventually be able to get us to be free. Would you honestly sit here and think that we're ever going to be free?
I'm a very optimistic person. So I'll tell you yes.
Okay.
But I'll tell you yes with a caveat that there's a lot of things we need to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like you mentioned, there's a lot that people in power, the government, the various organizations, corporates can do to ensure that people live a better life first,
okay,
and a free life. Now, sometimes I can sound very philosophical, right? Now, we won't really be free if we don't get to that point that she was talking about, where people can start up businesses and then the businesses are thriving because their infrastructure supports it.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, again, if we wait for those infrastructures to be in place, infrastructure, I mean, we've always have issues in that area. It may never really happen,
okay,
as quickly as we want it to happen. So my view will be a view of what are the things individuals can start controlling. What are the things I can, for instance, the little girl that started a bicycle business,
mm-hmm,
and honestly, that's very innovative. I would never think about that, right? Can we? How many of those little girls can we then build?
Yeah. Correct.
And that, honestly, for me, is not because there was a new infrastructure in place. The road already existed.
Mm.
What shifted was the mind.
Mm.
So can we do more work in telling people, to his point, stop depending too much on the government.
Mm.
Stop depending too much on an uncle that will not come true. Let me give you a real story. I have a very lovely uncle that loves me so much. And when I was in high school, I was a science student, very good. And he told me, read medicine and I will build you a hospital. And at that time, he could.
Mm.
The challenge is, I met someone else who told me, Harry, pursue purpose. Find yourself and read it and study a course that will really support you, that you really believe in. And you know what happened eventually? I decided to follow the other advice and I read a course that I really love. Few years down the line in the university, my uncle had an accident, had some issues and lost his business. And when I left the university, if I'd read medicine, it wouldn't be able to support me. Mm. Now that is a real story of Africa. People make promises before they get into power.
Yep.
But a lot of factors that will affect you, that you will, they will never be able to fulfill that promise. Mm-hmm. So why will I wait for the governmental promise? What can I start doing now?
Mm.
Now, if all of a sudden I've started and I'm doing something, I'm making a change, and that infrastructure comes, it will make it very easy.
Highly scalable.
Highly scalable, exactly. But if I'm waiting for the infrastructure to come, if it doesn't come, then the cycle of poverty, the cycle of bondage continues. So, which is why I think if we take it as a personal journey first, the chances that we will get to real freedom is quicker than if we're depending on other people.
Yeah. So, Lisa, you're making a big promise. You are saying you are future-proof.
Yeah.
So it means, you know, you are preventing. rather than cure.
Yes, absolutely.
So isn't that a big claim, though?
It's huge. In fact, Jim Collins calls it big, hairy, audacious goals. Mm. And that is a big, hairy, audacious goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't apologize for setting it. You cannot galvanize a nation around a promise to go down to Checkers and buy, Chelsea buttons.
No.
That's not going to galvanize anybody. You have to make wildly audacious promises, and then you have to chase them hard. And that's exactly what we plan to do. And we are doing it. Last year, we taught 1,400 kids to start businesses. Think about that. If you've got one Adrian Gore in that, or you've got one Whitey Basan in that, or you've got one Vusi Dimbakwayo in that, okay? Just one in those 1,400 kids, the impact that it's going to make on our economy. Now, we know that 5% are entrepreneurial. Take the 5% of that. Seven of them, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, seven high-impact entrepreneurs in this country. It's totally doable.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's a massive claim. And you know what? The world needs more people making massive claims and then chasing them down hard.
Mm. So, Chris, you are guys having a press release today. Maybe start. What is the press release about? And two, we're sitting with governments, private sector, that are making big claims, as Lisa has said. And some of these claims, they do not live up to others. They're doing contrary to that. And now, you being the Free Market Foundation, is your door open to ordinary people to come, help you guys, or lead you in the direction of you guys able to provoking some of those claims to become a reality?
We love provoking. The more voices we can get in the artillery barrage, the better, I think. We know we're always writing. We're trying to get into media. The more voices we can have, the better. We're always open to hearing from listeners, from anyone on ideas,
mm-hmm.
you know, about how to combat X, Y, Z. And take the biggest example nowadays, the expropriation against compensation. The notion, the concept of property, if that's no longer, and property doesn't just apply to, you know, agricultural land, applies to businesses, this building we're sitting in right now, your car, your house, all this stuff. If that goes away, all these business plans, all this stuff, that's all the purview of the state, and we're no longer in control. So the more people we can get in, you know, talking about this stuff, the better our conversations can be. We're not, you know, it's not a case of you have to have read Ayn Rand or Ludwig von Mises or these big free market thinkers to agree with me and be in my camp. The more you can challenge me, the more that's going to sharpen my own arguments and make it better for me when I argue against the law or something like that. So the more voices we have, the more we love it.
Mm. Yeah. So just a quick one. How many are you guys, a membership-based organization? How do people participate? Or who are the beneficiaries of?
Yes, we've got members. So you can sign up. There are various options for membership. And then we've got weekly media briefings and evening events. Last week we hosted Frans Cronier from the Institute of Race Relations. He had an evening event. He talked about the future of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Today we had a media briefing. We're talking about the Constitution and amending it. 75% you need it for the expropriation story. So people can get involved in any way. They can either come and talk to us. They can email us. They can become donor members. Anything is open.
Okay. Earlier on, you spoke about some of the differences that you're making, whether in Sasol Bank or wherever.
Mm.
Who are you using for those? Because for me, I mean, I'm sitting with practitioners that are are in this business of developing people, mm-hmm. who are you using for that?
So for the Kai Alum project, as our biggest example, anyone can come to us, a bank, a business, and can be a sponsor. So for a title deed. So they come to us, they give us that money for the title deed, and we go through the process for them. But then at the title deed ceremony, and we host these ceremonies in Nguate, in Parais, very regularly, you see the handovers from the bank, and they get the title deed. They come, we host the ceremony, they hand it over to an 89-year-old lady who's been living in her house, and she doesn't have that title deed. And you see the real effect of this on people's lives. So the sponsors can completely decide. They can make an anonymous donation, or they can be involved in the actual handover.
Okay, I'm going to bring you back. I want us to dwell deep on the issue of title deeds. Because you know, Bulelani, there's a lot of people that you know, have been owning or staying in houses with no title deeds, and Free Market Foundation is coming and is giving people title deed. Where do you get them? But you don't need to answer that. No. Those are the things that that we definitely going to
point of order from
your point of receiving.
Yes. So we'll definitely want to bring you back. And we have more, yes, more in terms of the discussion, around that issue. So Bulelani, in terms of right now, so Lisa obviously is focusing on future proofing South Africa within the entrepreneurship space.
Put air quotes down. No air quotes.
Oh, okay.
We don't air quote future proofing.
Oh, is it? Okay. So it means no. She is living up to her claim. so maybe let me ask you this. Lisa, Bulelani deals with entrepreneurs, like real entrepreneurs that are in the township, that are having some of the struggles. In Tembisa, that is. Cosmo and whatsoever, they're in Johannesburg. When are you going to Tembisa and speak to real entrepreneurs, not kids?
No, so I'm going to just... and you're pulling your tongue like that because you know you're poking the bear right now. You know it. You're waiting for this. I'm going to create some real entrepreneurs so that they can filter through to his work that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we deal with kids specifically because we're going to change the way they think to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
The major pillar of success in entrepreneurs is the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get the mindset right... then you can add on the skills of planning, of customer identification, of all of those things. But if we can build a strong internal locus of control, opportunity awareness, tenacity, innovation, a need for achievement, then we're going to make your job that much easier.
Mm. Dr. Harry, when I come into Tembisa?
When you invite me. I mean, I've done a bit of work in Soweto, delivering books to... some of the libraries there, and we do have people coming from Tembisa in particular, coming from Soweto to the program. Benoni from Heidelberg, from Alex.
Benoni's rough.
Yeah.
So rough.
Watch it. I'm from Benoni.
So that people coming to our Be the Best session, to the Shift session. But I'm very open to go in there directly and also, you know, do some work there.
Okay. Quickly. When is the Shift, the next Shift event?
The next Shift event is on the 22nd of September.
Okay.
It's going to hold at we're using the one of the halls at Pearson Institute in Midrand, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's at Pearson Institute, is at 44 Alsatian Road, Glen Austin, at Midrand.
Okay. Yeah. So is it free to come in? Is it money?
The theme of the program is free, and for people to attend is free.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for people that want more information, where can they get hold of it?
There's an email they can call a number. There's a phone number. Can I share the number?
Yeah,
it's 074-043-9159. 074-043-9159.
Okay. What are you hosting? Are you hosting anything?
So we're in Orange Farm next month. We start with one of the schools in Orange Farm next month. So, yeah, that's where we're at. Our programs are based in schools. So if anyone wants to come and check it out, you're more than welcome to. You can come and join with us in the classroom and run around with kids and teach them cash flow using jelly beans. We're quite keen to do that. Hmm. You're welcome to come and join us in the classroom. And especially if you're an entrepreneur. All our coaches are entrepreneurs themselves. We don't ask anyone to teach anything they haven't done before. So if you're an entrepreneur and you want to come and join us, you're absolutely welcome to. And you can get hold of us on start@futureproofsa.com.
Go mention that again.
start@futureproofsa.com. Otherwise, okay. The web is www.futureproofsa.com.
Chris, what are you hosting?
So we actually had an event on today. The next 2 weeks, I'm not sure what we have coming up, but we have regular events, evening and midday events for the media. If you want to find out anything about our events, look at our articles. You can find videos of all our events and stuff to share all around. Just go to Free Market Foundation South Africa. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're all around. And like I said, email us and with your suggestions and ideas, and let's see what we can run with.
Mm. Okay, Bulena, are you hosting anything?
Yeah. Well, this Saturday we're hosting. One of the micro sessions. So that's going to be happening at Moriding Park, and we've got Sibusiso Mlemi and an amazing innovator, Nele. And then, obviously, November, 2,000 entrepreneurs over 2 days. 16, 17.
Baby.
Excited. Nice. Yeah. So, guys, quickly, we're closing off the show. We usually close off the show in style. A 30-second word of inspiration to somebody that is listening that's on the verge of giving up.
Starting with me?
Yeah.
All right. So, if you're listening right now, this is Harry speaking. I need you to know that right inside of you is the gift you need to be free in life, and all you need to do is to find it. I know it's difficult, I know that it's tough, but if you find that gift, just like I've done, a very little boy in Africa, brought up by a single mother, but I found mine, and mine has taken me around the world. If you find yours, it can take you around the world. So what you should never do is to give up, because if you give up, you're just bearing one of the most important things that can happen to the world, and that is you.
Okay. Ma'am?
Every failure, everything that you think you've made a mistake at, it's just your next step to success. And that's it. I mean, okay. That's as simple as it gets.
I think, yeah, your own happiness is your purpose in life. Build your life as a monument to yourself. It's in your hands. Own it. And I think live it to you the best of your ability.
Okay. Budelan, I don't want to get things done.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Well, no, man. Get things done. But I don't know what to say. Get things done, guys. Have a beautiful week, and God bless you.
This is all that we had for you today. If you've just joined in, you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com to catch the podcast and some exciting guests that we had on the discussion. You know, we always here every Wednesday, same time, same place. And more than anything, thank you, ladies. Lady and gents, for coming through. Looking forward to hosting you again next time in future.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah, catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Tebogo Mafodi with my boy Bulelani. Bala, we out.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.